Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The Game Loaded Show. Al Gill today. Trevor Maddich today. Great show. NFL free agency is right around the corner. The thing about football, you got to hand it to the NFL. They have absolutely owned the spring. And I think this has been like the last 5 years or so that the NFL has just taken over the spring. Forget basketball. Forget college basketball. I mean, it doesn't help that Vandy's awful and the Vols are trending in that direction and Kentucky's bad too. But, I mean, forget basketball. It's football rules the spring. Even ESPN, who has the NBA, when I watch their morning shows, it's, we got some basketball to talk about, but first we got the football guys in. Okay, football guys, what do we think about this? And so we are right around the corner from free agency and the Titans. Here's the truth. The Titans are 11-5. They're coming off of winning the division, a home playoff game. We feel good about the quarterback. We feel good about a lot of players on this team. But the truth is, they screwed up so royally last offseason that they can't afford a similar screw-up. They can't afford a similar screw-up that will affect their cap in a negative way like last year affected their cap, that will keep them from being able to kind of restock the cupboards the way last year kept them from restocking the cupboards, and they're going to have to go get people in free agency that are going to make a difference this year. They can't just sign their own guys and say, hey, we did a good job. That's not going to be good enough. So they cannot have the bad offseason that they had this past offseason. And one of the things that I was a little excited about, as you all know, was the idea of J.J. Watt joining the Titans. Well, obviously that is gone because J.J. Watt is headed to the Arizona Cardinals for an exorbitant amount of money. And when I looked at that contract yesterday, I think a lot of you felt the same way I felt, which was, that is way too much money for an aging 32-year-old injured guy who certainly has some good football left in him and certainly would be the kind of leader that we feel like the Titans need on defense. But we never once, when talking about the idea of bringing in J.J. Watt, we never once on this show brought up the idea of paying him $15.5 million. In fact, when that exact report came out last week, we said on this show, keep on walking. Keep on moving, J.J. And that's fine. J.J. got what he wanted, and that's good. But there's a one thing that price tag should scare you. One thing that should really bother you. And it is this. We all think the Titans are going to go out and add a player this year. A true sacker on the free agent market. Now, if it's one of the high-end guys, that's one thing. If it's a couple of low-end guys, that's another thing. But the Titans are going to have to clear some of their own cap space. They're going to have to redo Taylor Lewan's contract. They're going to have to redo Ryan Tannehill's contract. And I'm guessing they're probably going to redo another contract, too. They cannot redo Derrick Henry's contract because it has to be over a year until you can redo it. They cannot redo Kevin Byard's contract because it is back-to-back years. They redid his last year. So they're going to have to redo some contracts. Guys are going to have to take some pay cuts. Ben Jones is going to have to take a pay cut. I saw Spotrac.com has kind of their free agent estimates. Alex Mack, who I think is a better center than Ben Jones, Alex Mack is projected to make $5 million over 1 year. Ben Jones is expected to make $7.2 next year. He's not $7.2 million. You can't pay him $7.2 million. But here's why the JJ contract should scare you. It's because everybody else is going to look at how ridiculous that contract is, and they're going to think they can shoot for something crazy too. TD was on our show yesterday, Teron Davenport. I asked him, how much does the JJ contract affect the number? Take a listen. How does the market look now that he's off?
Yeah, I think the market still looks spectacular. It's not like Christmas needs to be canceled or anything like that. It's still a good looking option for the Titans to add pass rushers or even just edge guys overall. And I think when you look at Romeo Okwara, he's definitely a guy that, you know, should be considered. And I've mentioned Carl Lawson. And I think these guys will come in at a pretty reasonable deal, right? If you go back and you look at what Shaq Lawson signed with the Dolphins last year, 30 million over 3 years. I think a 4 year, $40 million deal is reasonable for Carl Lawson, who had a similar type of path, with the exception of being a first round pick. And Okwara, you know, 3 years, 35 and somewhere in that ballpark, I think is reasonable. He's coming off a 10 sack season. So those are guys. I think what you still have to look at is comboing it with one of the guys in the upper echelon group of edge guys, and then doubling down and getting, whether it's a Ryan Kerrigan, who's a perfect consolation prize for not getting J.J. Watt. I think you're getting a very similar player there. Justin Houston is another one. I mean, there are other guys that they could add just as a complement to the major guy that they signed, even on Marcus Golden, who I've mentioned multiple times.
If they're going to add a high-end guy, it's going to be a guy who's going to cost you a lot of money. And you heard him say, TD, throughout 4 years, $40 million for Carl Lawson. That's the same estimation Spotrac has for Carl Lawson. And they say in their write-up of him, quote, an inconsistent past 3 years will keep his value on the open market somewhat tempered, but he has value in the right situations. There's a guy like Romeo Okwara, who they point out, hey, he had a kind of rough 3.5 years in the NFL. Then he dominated, or excuse me, 4.5 years in the NFL. Then he had a great finish to 2020, and now people are talking about 3 years, $30 million. And as much as we can look at that and say, you know, 4 years, $40 million, that's not the end of the world for a top pass rusher. It's only going to go up. And the quality of the pass rusher is Romeo Okwara, and I'm not knocking Romeo Okwara because TD really likes him and has been bringing him up as a possible fit for the Titans. But is that the kind of name that you want when it comes to this team? Is the name not Yannick Ngakoue? Is the name not Matthew Judon? Is it not one of these higher-end guys that you would say, hey, this is who I'd want on the Titans? By the way, Spotrac does predict the Titans signing a high-end pass rusher, and it is Yannick Ngakoue. And they say, quote, Ngakoue is a bit of a forgotten player after bouncing around in 2020, but at just 25, he still has time to settle in as a full-time role as a dominant pass rusher and thus should be paid accordingly. They have, for Yannick Ngakoue, they have him 4 years, $64 million. Excuse me. They have Matthew Judon going to the Titans at 4 years, $65 million. Do you really want Matthew Judon after he had six sacks last year? I don't think they're going to be able to get a Shaq Barrett, although, oh my God, I would love it. They're not going to be able to get a Shaq Barrett. They're not going to get the guy at the top of the market. But J.J. Watt isn't at the top of the market. J.J. was a broken down 32-year-old guy who clearly has some skills, but doesn't have the same skills he should have had before. And that's what bothers me. Again, you're going to have to pay. You don't have the cap space. Everybody, every time I bring up doing something for the Titans, everybody shoots me down. Whether it's Chris Sanders, whether it's Twitter, whether it's... Well, I say, okay, well, how about we create a little bit of money by... Let's create some money for the Titans by... I don't know, cutting the $7.2 million center who's really not worth $7.2 million. And he's a great piece to the puzzle, but... Again, I can get a center in the third round that starts in the, no, don't cut him. Okay. What about bringing in a guy on defense who can, whoa now, I'm not sure that's the kind of guy who would fit the Titans. Matthew Judon only had six sacks. Well, you're going to have to pay him $65 million at least over 4 years. What about Bud Dupree? Well, I don't know. Bud Dupree had that injury. He's got red flags. I'm not sure. Okay, what about, it's like each person I bring up, I really have no interest in, and we'll do a little exercise here in a second about what it's going to take to keep Corey Davis. I really, truthfully, don't have any interest in keeping Corey Davis. The more I go through this, the more I see that compensation pick that you would get if somebody else signs him, the lack of productivity over the course of his career, not just last year, in which I still didn't think he was all that special last year, and the fact that, you know, the alternative is maybe he gets somebody better than Corey Davis. I'm looking at this cap, and I'm trying to make sense of how do the Titans go out and get a starting wide receiver, a starting tight end, a starting outside linebacker, a starting defensive lineman, and these are guys that can sack, so they're not cheap, or they won't come, you know, you better use them in the first round. And there's no guarantee when you take one guy in the first round that that guy's going to pan out. See, last year's first round pick, I mean, try to help me out here, people. I'm trying to look at the Titans cap situation, and I'm trying to figure out how I can make that work. And the more I go through it, the more I look at these pass rushers, and I agree with Teron. They need a guy, a top-of-the-market guy that's going to cost some money, Trey Hendrickson in New Orleans, who's probably not a top-of-the-market guy, but he's certainly up there. I don't like Judon, and I don't think the Titans like Ngakoue, but that kind of player, I mean, if you get one of those guys and you draft a guy, which is what they're going to have to do, now where do you fill everything else? How do you pay everybody else? And that's what, like, I look at, I'm like, this. It almost makes more sense that the Titans don't bring back Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith. And I know people are going, this is crazy, Jared. What are you talking about? And I'm like, look, the more I read the coverage as to what this team can do. I mean, we're talking about the projections for Clowney being 1 year and $12 million. I wouldn't bring Clowney back if you paid me to have him on the team. And that's what we're looking at in free agency. This J.J. Watt contract. Free agency, the cap is going down. When the cap goes down, that means that the mid-sized veteran player gets squeezed out, a.k.a. the Ben Joneses. In a $210 million cap, Ben Jones is the kind of player at $7.2 million you can afford to have. He is not the kind of player at $7.2 million you can afford on a $182 million cap. There are guys that are in the mix for the Titans. You want to have a guy like Jayon Brown. He'll cost you $11 million a season. Can you afford to pay Jayon Brown and the 3.4 you owe Rashawn Evans? So essentially $15 million at the middle linebacker position, and you're not improving your team at all by doing that. You're staying the same. This is not going to be as simple as people make it out to be. This is not going to be get the guys we want, cut the guys that we don't like. For example, Adam Humphries, that's an easy cut. Or Kenny Vaccaro. People like Kenny Vaccaro, but I mean, we're realistic about the position. But there's going to be, this is not easy. I keep trying to harp the more I look through this. Teams are going to outbid you. And nobody is just jumping up and down to come play at Tennessee. It's not like Tom Brady is the starting quarterback here and people are saying, hey, I'd like to sacrifice everything just to win a title because I get to play with Tom Brady. Because you're not getting that. So I'm looking at it now and I'm trying to figure out, how do you keep Corey Davis? How do you keep Jonnu Smith? How do you keep, do you want to keep him? How do you keep him? Do you want to keep him? And if you do keep him, how do you fix the pass rush? Because, again, I just saw J.J. Watt get $15.5 million. And I wouldn't have given J.J. that contract, but somebody did. And in each of these where we're going to look at it and we're going to say, well, would you give this guy this contract? And would say, no, I don't want to give Matthew Judon and his six sacks $65 million. Well, guess what? Somebody is going to give them $65 million. And then they're not going to come here. So I'm not panicking, but I think we need to be realistic about what the Titans can accomplish in free agency. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Spotrac also has their predictions for where guys like Jonnu Smith, Corey Davis, where they will land and how much they will cost. We'll get to that coming up next. But also, I think I can make it work for Davis and Smith, maybe. But you've got to answer me this question, which is, do you really want these guys back? Like, do you really want them back? 615-737-1025, and I will lay out how you can bring them back. We'll do that next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman & Company's delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Do you think that Corey Davis' feelings was hurt because they opt out of his fifth year? Does he have that in the back of his mind? Does he have it in the back of his mind that they really didn't want me, but all of a sudden I have a great year and now they want to keep me? So those are the questions that he has asked for himself. Do I want to be here? Do I want to be a part of Tannehill's offense? Do I want to be a part of Henry's offense? Do I want to be a part of the success that we had this year? So the ball's in Corey Davis's hands. The ball's in Janu's hands. If they want to go, and that's exactly what Corey Davis and Janu, they're going to be asked to take less money. And if your mind is making a whole bunch of money as opposed to winning championships, then you have to do what's best for you. But if you're looking at this offense and you're looking at this team and you're saying, okay, you know what? If you give me a decent amount of signing bonus and you make my first year okay, and then the next year it gets bigger and I can earn it in incentives, then now it benefits the player and also it benefits the organization.
That was Chris Sanders on our show yesterday, former Titans receiver. And I love Chris to death. But Ian, back me up on this. If you were Corey Davis or Jonnu Smith, would you take any less money?
Well, I guess it kind of would depend on the other team.
The only way I'm taking less money is if you're talking about, you know, it's a $2 million difference and we're talking about the 49ers where I'm going to get taxed out of the rear end and the Titans.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
Right.
If it's
close, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it's close, fine. You can convince me. If it's not, you probably can't convince me. So if the Titans cut Adam Humphries, which they already have, Kenny Vaccaro, which they will do, and one of the two corners, Butler or Jackson, they would be $16.93 million under the cap. I have done some digging, and they can move around some contracts, and that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to convert, I would assume, Taylor Lewan's. I think they're going to convert his salary this year, which is $11 million base salary. I think they're going to convert that into signing bonus, which would probably knock that number down by about $7 million. So you can save some money by knocking down a little cash. Now, Tannehill's one that would make sense, too, to kind of redo, except that if you do, say you convert his $24.5 million base salary into more signing bonus, at the end of the deal, you really don't give yourself an out. I mean, if he's 35 years old and he's, or if he's 34 years old and he's falling apart, you no longer have an out because that signing bonus is going to raise that cap hit. His cap hit for next year is $34 million. And if he's gets his essentially his fourth year picked up, it would be $32 million. So you start spreading around that signing bonus. Now the cap hit for Tannehill next year balloons to something like $39 million. So I'm going to give the Titans an extra $10 million without cutting anybody else. I'm going to give them an extra $10 million and just moving around contracts, even though I think that's a little generous. And I still think they've got to cut one of the offensive linemen. But that would put them at $26.93 million. Now, again, go back to the holes of this team. And if you go back to the holes, you can't fill all of them without creating more holes. For example, a safety. You're going to need one. You cut Vaccaro. You're going to have to draft one. Now you used a pick. There's a lot there. But if you really want to keep Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis, which Chris Sanders does. Now, Chris, it feels like to me, is trying to play this peacemaker. Like, okay, how about you give Corey a contract and you give Jonnu a contract and guys, you guys take less money and let's meet in the middle and shake hands. Now, I don't think that's how free agency is going to work for these two guys. This is their opportunity to make some money. Now, according to SpoTrack, where they predicted and projected all the top free agents, they only have one of these two guys coming back. They have Davis coming back, and they've got Corey Davis on a four-year, $42 million contract. So you're talking $12 million, basically. Well, I mean, less than $12 million. But you're talking $10-plus million a year for Corey Davis, and they have Jonnu Smith going to the Jets at 4 years, 32, which is about $8 million per. So here's what I did. This is how, if you want to keep them, this is how I think you can do it. And again, we're playing around with the number 26.93 million. That's Humphries, Vaccaro, one of the two corners, and then some cap adjusting, you know, cutting some guys, you know, signing bonus or base salary into signing bonus, you know, all that kind of drama. Ian, do you think 26.93 is a fair number to work with?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so working with that number, here's the deal you can give Corey Davis. I think you can give him, and this is going to the SpoTrack, you know, estimated market value. I think you can give him 4 years, $39 million, 21 guaranteed. You give him, over 4 years, you give him $10 million up front to sign. So he gets a $10 million signing bonus the day he puts his name on that check. That's only $2.5 million against the cap for next year. You then give him a $5 million base salary, and Corey Davis's cap number is 7.5. So it roughly puts you somewhere in the ballpark of $19 million, still under the cap, still enough to sign a big name, still enough at pass rusher, still enough to affect your rookie class, or allow you to sign your rookie class, and give you a little wriggle room for depth guys you're going to have to sign when everything kind of starts to go in and, you know, guys don't get their contracts they want and all of a sudden they take million-dollar deals. So that'll give you some wiggle room. But here's where it gets crazy. You give Davis $21 million guaranteed. You're basically, the first 2 years are guaranteed in this. The next year, the number jumps from 7.5 to 8.5. If I give him a $6 million salary in year two, a $10 million salary in year three, with a $12.5 million cap number, and an $8 million salary in 2022 in year four, which would be 10.5 against the cap. The problem is, I'm willing to guarantee 2 years. He's probably going to want 3 years guaranteed. So are you willing to eat in the third year? And we would expect, at that point, we would expect kind of the cap numbers to go up, or I should say in 2023. We should expect the cap numbers to go up a little bit, a lot, when they sign these new TV deals. But are you okay in year three with $12.5 million against the cap for Corey Davis? The other one is Jonnu Smith. They estimate about $8 million a year for Jonnu Smith. I go 5 years, $40 million. And the reason I'm going five is because I can spread the signing bonus all throughout the 5 years. And I give Jonnu Smith a $15 million signing bonus. Now, I'm sure the Titans not having actual cash has never really been a problem. So I'm not going to assume that it would be here. But for Jonnu Smith, I'm giving him $15 million the day he signs. I'm giving him a $2.5 million contract for next year base salary, plus the $3 million against the cap, or the $3 million signing bonus, which leads to $5.5 million against the cap. So after I sign Davis and I sign Jonnu Smith, I'm now at around $14.5 million. And I still have to sign my rookie class, which that'll take a nice little chunk out of that. I still need to sign a kicker. I still need to sign a long snapper. I still need to probably sign a linebacker, a Jayon Brown. I'm definitely going to have to sign a pass rusher. But you can't have everything. You cannot have everything. And this is why the whole Clowney thing, I threw a fit about it then. I keep throwing a fit about it now. You pay Clowney $12.5 million. That's $12.5 million you could have this year. But those are the ways you make it work for Jonnu Smith. And they're going to want the money guaranteed. So you go 5 years, $40 million for Jonnu, you've got to guarantee about 22.5 of that. And they're going to want more guaranteed. I'm trying to guarantee 2 years for these guys. They're going to want to guarantee three. In the case of Jonnu, I have guaranteed three. They're going to want to guarantee four. But that's what it would take to keep them. And it would make it harder for you to add a pass rusher. And then once you do, if you're left with $14.5 million, now you don't have a hole anymore at number one tight end, and you don't have a hole at wide receiver. But you still have to get a number three wide receiver. You still have to get a number two and a number three tight end. You still have to get a starting defensive lineman, a starting outside linebacker. A safety will have to come in here, probably via the draft, to replace Kenny Vaccaro's spot. Amani Hooker will take his, and then you have to replace Hooker's spot. So, goodbye Jayon Brown. Goodbye Desmond King. Probably goodbye either Pruitt or Swaim. And you might be able to get one good guy on the free agent market. So do you want to do it? That's my question for you. If you can sign those two guys, that's what it's going to take. And honestly, it's probably going to take a little bit more guaranteed money. And don't forget, Henry and Tannehill's, and I know that we expect the cap to go up, and they expect the cap to go up, and the cap will go up because football will never be at $182 million in a cap ever again unless we have another pandemic, knock on wood. But that Tannehill cap is going to get big. The Henry cap is going to be a lot bigger a couple years down the road. So I'm giving it to you right now. If you sign, by my calculations, and there is a chance they could get a better deal, that somebody could like Jonnu Smith more than I do. I don't really love Jonnu Smith. I'd rather bring in a guy like Kyle Rudolph, make it a two-year deal, pay him less money, maybe even a one-year prove-it deal. But those 30-year-old free agents who have a little bit, other than JJ, the guys that don't have the big names, they're going to get squeezed out of their current situations. Buy low on that. I'd rather do that than sign Jonnu Smith. But I'm just saying, if you want to sign Jonnu Smith, and if you want to sign Corey Davis, that's probably what it's going to cost you, is somewhere around, for Davis, about $7.5 million against your cap, and you're committing for about 2 or 3 years. And for Jonnu, $5.5 million against your cap, and you're probably committing for 3 or 4 years. So do you want to do it? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to your reaction on it. 615-737-1025. Plus, I have to ask the serious question about Corey Davis's value. And I do not mean this in a negative way. I do not mean this in a rude way. I just mean in a, you know, legitimate, you know, let's just tell the truth. That's what this show does. We tell the truth. And there's something about Davis that I want your opinion on it because I know what my opinion is. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company right here, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What do you think Corey Davis's market value could look like if he hits free agency and is able to go and test the waters out there this year around the league?
Probably prices himself out of Nashville. You got three guys who are going to be commanding top dollar if they're free and not franchised. Chris Godwin, Allen Robinson, Kenny Golladay. For teams that don't want to go in that stratosphere, Will Fuller, Corey Davis, Juju Smith-Schuster may be guys that you look at. So as long as he's not thinking he should be paid like those guys, he has a chance to potentially get somewhere between, at most, number two money and where Cooper Kupp is, which is like $15 million. Number two money is anywhere from $10 to $12 million.
That was Joel Corey, CBS Sports, longtime NFL agent, on with Robbie and Retro talking about the market for Corey Davis. I see your phones. We will get to them in just a second. But as I was going through a way to make this work with Corey Davis, remember this. If you sign Davis and you sign Jonnu Smith, you would have about $14.5 million. This is just a rough estimate, honestly. But you'd have about $14.5 million to play with for the rest of the year. You could probably get by on that, but you're really not going to improve your team much. You got to drill the draft if that's the case. And I just want to ask the honest question about Corey Davis. And this is a show that prides itself on telling the truth. Is he really worth it? And I don't just mean the exact dollar figure and the, you know, well, at $11 million, he's Chris Sanders talks about chemistry all the time. So much so that he believes he would franchise tag Corey Davis before letting him go. That would never happen, but he would do that. And again, I can't stress that. I'm just telling you, I love Chris Sanders. That would never happen, but he thinks that Corey Davis is absolutely vital to this team. Is he? Like, if you let Corey Davis leave, you're going to sign another wide receiver. You're going to draft another wide receiver. They may not be as good as Corey Davis. If you draft them, they might be better than Corey Davis. Remember the last time you drafted a wide receiver? His name was A.J. Brown. He was 51st in the draft. The Titans didn't have a need at that position. They had Corey Davis at one spot. They had Adam Humphries at another. And they dreamed about the idea of Taywan Taylor actually not stinking. They drafted A.J. Brown anyways. I think A.J. Brown's pretty good. The idea that you could draft a wide receiver and he'd be better than Corey Davis, I don't think Corey Davis is that good. How many times in Corey Davis's career has he just taken over games that have made you say, whoa? He had the Baltimore game this year where I thought he was fantastic on the road. He had the New England and Philadelphia games his second year. But it wasn't like A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown, it's like every other week A.J. Brown takes over a ball game. This is a running team that has a 2,000-yard running back. That's the focus anyway. I mean, a number two receiver. Yes, if you are taking the typical number two receiver on a team that probably wants to pass the ball more than the Titans want to pass the ball, he's probably about worth $10 or $11 million. But is Corey Davis even that good? Think about the other number two wide receivers in the league. Most of them are young guys. But again, is Davis really that good that you don't think you can replace him? That you don't think if you let him go, sign a guy for cheaper, use the third round pick that you're going to acquire for Jack Conklin on a wide receiver, that you don't think you've got a better chance of finding somebody who is as good or better than Davis? Corey Curtis texted me when we were talking during the last segment. Corey Curtis from News 2 texted me and said, you know, he said, I love Jonnu Smith, but I don't think he's had over 500 yards in a season. I can't go to $8 million on him. I would agree. I've told you, I'm bringing in a veteran tight end if it's me. I'm bringing in one of these guys on a 1 or 2 year deal. I'm bringing in Zach Ertz. I'm bringing in Kyle Rudolph. I'm bringing in Jimmy Graham. I'm bringing in Cameron Brate, Jared Cook. I'm bringing one of those guys in before I sign Jonnu Smith to a long deal. I'm bringing in Marvin Jones Jr. before I sign Corey Davis to a long deal. I'm drafting a receiver with one of my four picks in the first three rounds and hoping that that guy can go fit right in next to A.J. Brown, because ultimately you're going to have to pay A.J. And when you pay A.J., it's not going to be about, you know, can you work it in at $9 million? Can you work it in? It's going to be about $16, $17 million when you have to pay A.J. Brown. So, I mean, we can, if you own the team, like I always ask you with the Predators, if you own the team, I can maneuver the numbers however you want me to maneuver them. But at the end of the day, do you really want Corey Davis? Like, is he really that irreplaceable? 615-737-1025. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. DeJuan is up next on Davis and Jonnu Smith. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, DeJuan.
Yeah, I would keep Jonnu Smith. I'd get rid of Davis just because, I mean, I'm a fan. I like Davis, but, I mean, you could find another Davis. His output is just basic. I mean, he doesn't pass the eyeball test, and he doesn't have that dog in him. Like with Jonnu Smith, I mean, I know he doesn't have the stats, but when you watch him play, like, he got it. He got that it factor. I kind of blame it on our offense and the fact that he had to block a lot of times during the season because of our offensive line. But when he got the ball, man, he's running over folks, jumping over folks. He got that it factor you can't just replace as easily as you can with Davis.
Yeah, I appreciate your call, DeJuan. I mean, Jonnu Smith, the other thing about Jonnu Smith is he is a red zone guy. I mean, he is a red zone magnet. You know, he catches touchdowns from Ryan Tannehill. I think there's probably something to what Chris Sanders says. Like, there is some truth to the chemistry angle of this, that you don't want to wipe out all the targets for Tannehill so that when he shows up for the first day of practice, he's got A.J. Brown and Anthony Firkser that he's comfortable throwing the ball to, and he doesn't really know anybody else. That's probably not a good spot to put Tannehill in. So I think you probably would like to bring one guy back. If I am picking between the two guys I'm bringing back, Jonnu Smith, to the caller's point. To me, I just don't think Davis is special. I mean, like, we've seen special wide receivers in our lives. You know, guys that, and now it's been bad for the Titans. But do you guys remember when Derek Morgan was on the Titans? You guys remember Derek Morgan, pass rusher? Well, I use the term pass rusher lightly. Derek Morgan, I've always told people, they took him in the first round in 2010, and he was supposed to go in the top 10, top 5. I mean, they thought Derek Morgan was just the man out of Georgia Tech, the Mel Kuypers and everybody else. And then he just kept sliding, and some pass rushers went before him, and JPP went one pick before Derek Morgan. And then the Titans drafted Derek Morgan. It was like, oh, yes, he fell to the Titans. He's going to be a pass-rushing force. And then they had Derek Morgan. And Derek Morgan was fine. Like, he was a fine player. I've always told people, he wasn't a good player. People will tell me, yeah, no, Derek Morgan, he was a good player. No, he wasn't. He wasn't a bad player, but he wasn't a good player. He was just there. And had Derek Morgan been drafted in the fifth round and it had a five-year career with the Titans and it moved on, then we all would have said, you know, Derek Morgan had a nice career. Kind of like Jayon Brown, who, if he has a nice little career with the Titans and then goes somewhere, Jayon Brown was a nice fit. But Derek Morgan was never worth the first-round pick. He was never worth the hype. He was never the guy that Mel Kiper and everybody else projected him to be. It's the same with Corey Davis. Corey Davis isn't a good receiver. But he's not a bad receiver. He's fine. Like, he's fine. That's what he is. He's fine. It's like Sam texting, I am not going to bash the midday show over something I did not hear with my own ears. But Sam texts into the text line, and again, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sam says, Jared, what's your take on the midday show saying that Corey Davis and Allen Robinson were comparable players and they weren't sure if they'd take him over Corey Davis? I didn't hear that, but that's ridiculous. I mean, Allen Robinson is a number one wide receiver. Allen Robinson was a number one wide receiver in Jacksonville with Blake Bortles as his quarterback. Allen Robinson got hurt with Blake Bortles as his quarterback, signed with the Bears, and has been a number one receiver with Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles as his starting quarterbacks. Yes, Allen Robinson. Like, the Titans can't afford Allen Robinson, but he'd be great on the other side of A.J. Brown. I'm just not convinced. This is me. I'm just not convinced Davis is that good. I'm just not convinced that he's that special. We'll get back to your phones on this. I see them lining up, so we'll go right to them next. 615-737-1025, Stillman and Company right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Who loves free beer? Everybody, I've been told, just loves free beer. And we are kicking off the weekend with Free Beer Fridays. So listen all throughout the day for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at the Opry Mills Mall. ESPN 1025 The Game.
Where do you value a Corey Davis right now, and really the wide receiver position, because you look at life with him, you're like, well, you know, he's been pretty good. He's been very solid this year.
Mm-hmm.
But what's life without him as well? So how do you try to put the dollar figure towards that?
Yeah, I look at more of A.J. Brown and the impact he's had on our football team or this football team, and it would make me push pause on Corey Davis in any kind of a really long-term expensive. I think I'd rather go back to the draft, take another shot, and see what I can find. Not that Corey doesn't deserve to get paid and earn as much as he can. I would just be very cautious on this one just because of what A.J. Brown has shown me he can do and what he can be. And to me, he's shown that he clearly can be a number one type of receiver. And if I can do that and I can spend the money somewhere else on this team, specifically to me, like on the offensive line, again, to shore that up a little bit better, make it a little more stout, strong, I think that's probably money better spent. And so, like, I could go by Joe Thuney, right, the Patriots guard, who Coach Vrabel knows of very well, and put him right there at guard, who's just been a workhorse, and fix something that I think is a little more broken than the wide receiver room.
That was Mark Dominic, former NFL general manager. I'm guessing Mark Dominic doesn't watch Titans a lot. If he's wanting to go spend money on Joe Thuney when the Titans have Roger Saffold and Nate Davis, that's just me. But I agree with the sentiment. Corey Davis doesn't do enough. I just don't, I mean, what's the big, like, Jayon Brown, Tommy texts into the text line, says, I'd like to keep Jonnu Smith, but I'd rather have Jayon Brown over both Davis and Smith if it came down to it. The Titans can draft another wide receiver and sign Anthony Firkser. I understand the chemistry, but chemistry doesn't produce week in and week out. At least Corey Davis's chemistry does not produce week in and week out. The Titans didn't pick up Davis's fifth-year option for a reason. The reason they didn't pick up Davis's fifth-year option wasn't just the fact that he's been inconsistent. It's also the fact that it was so big because he was the fifth overall pick that it would have been like franchise tagging him, and nobody's going to give him that kind of money. But yes, I mean, the thing I don't get is, like, Corey Davis was not an impact player for 3 years. Then he's kind of an impact player, and now it's like, we got to keep Corey Davis. Why? Now, I will give you to the crowd that talks about him blocking down the field. I will give them credit for that. But I can find an undrafted free agent who can block down the field. Blake is up next here on Stillman & Company. Thank you for calling. What's up, Blake?
Hey, Jared, I love the show.
Thank you.
Just wanted to ask you about this. I could care less about keeping Davis or Jonnu. First off, I don't think Davis is worth the cap space. Really, Jonnu, yeah, he's been good here lately, but we got Firkser. I think, what do you think about, like, bringing in a guy from the draft like Kyle Pitts? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you. The Titans will not be picking high enough to draft Kyle Pitts. Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft has Kyle Pitts going fourth overall to the Jets. Now, do I think the Jets, and Mel's got trades and stuff, which is weird because Mel doesn't do that. Do I think the New York Jets are going to be stupid enough to draft a tight end with the fourth overall pick? No. But Kyle Pitts is going to be gone by 8 or 9. So they're not going to be able to draft him. I'm not a big need guy at the draft. You know, I've been thinking about this. I want to get into this kind of, you know, with more detail. Everybody talks about how the Titans have to have a pass rusher this year, that they have to draft the pass rusher in the first round. And I have told you that I would not even be upset if they went pass rusher, pass rusher, pass rusher, pass rusher with their first four picks, just bang, 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 so they make sure they get that done and taken care of. Because if you draft four, at least one, probably two guys are going to be good. And I'm tired of bringing in guys that aren't any good. But I hate drafting for need. And tight end in the first round is a need pick, in my opinion. I don't want to do that. You can't get a Kyle Pitts. I will say this. I'm a little impressed. I have been reading the texts. I've been reading the calls. I have not seen a lot of sentiment to keep Corey Davis. Honestly, maybe it's Chris Sanders' impact on my life. But I do not feel, text her into the text line. Yes, Corey Davis is that good. But yes, he's also replaceable. That being said, if this guy is available in the second or third round, they need to draft Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss. Turned out pretty good when they drafted AJ. I don't believe in drafting the school. You draft the player, you don't draft the school. So I don't believe that. But I think there's going to be guys in this draft you can get in the second and third round that are better than Corey Davis. Like Chase Claypool last year. Think about this. I know it's so easy to do this, to revise history. But if the Titans had drafted Chase Claypool with the 25th overall pick instead of Isaiah Wilson, now we would have said they don't need a wide receiver. Although I said in this draft, we were told that the receivers in this draft were so good that you had to take a receiver. And the Titans didn't even take one, which was ridiculous, but that's neither here nor there. And I got mad about it at the time. Glad they took the quarterback out of Hawaii. They really used him. But, so anywho, Chase Claypool was the fastest guy, I believe, in this year's draft. Maybe Ruggs, who went to the Raiders out of Alabama, he might have been a little faster. But Claypool, as we know, is a burner. If they had drafted Claypool and they had A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, and Chase Claypool on the same team. Imagine how good they would have been on offense. And imagine how good we would feel right now about having Chase Claypool opposite A.J. Brown and knowing that Isaiah Wilson is not here and we don't have to worry about that headache. But again, it's easy to do that. But like again, Corey Davis is fifth overall pick. Corey Davis wants all this money. Chase Claypool is better than him. Texter says, sign someone other than Davis. He's not worth the money, and there are tons of available wide receivers that are more productive than Davis. Do not, in all caps, franchise tag. They are not going to franchise tag him. I can promise you they are not going to franchise tag him. I'm reading these texts. I am stunned at the amount of people that are texting in saying, I'd rather have somebody else other than Corey Davis. Like Jonnu Smith, I'm a little torn on how I feel about Jonnu Smith. I don't think Jonnu Smith is great. I do think Jonnu Smith is replaceable. But it's just like, even if you sign a guy like a Kyle Rudolph or a Zach Ertz, there's going to be like an acclimation process that the guy's got to go through to get used to Tannehill and get used to the offense. And there's a chance that they're done and that they're hurt and old and not good anymore. And that's why their original teams gave up on them. And maybe they don't block as well as Jonnu Smith. And maybe like there's so many things that could go wrong by trying to replace Jonnu Smith on the cheap. I don't feel like there's a lot of things that could go wrong with Corey Davis by trying to replace him on the cheap. I'll be real. I think if you draft somebody, there's a chance he's better, but probably about the same. I think if you sign someone, there's a chance if that guy's an older guy like T.Y. Hilton or A.J. Green, there's a chance that guy could get hurt. But I certainly think if they don't get hurt, you're a lot more likely to be more productive with A.J. Green or T.Y. Hilton than you would be with Corey Davis. Texter brings up the idea of getting somebody to stretch the field, somebody like Will Fuller or Robbie Anderson. I have always wanted to go get a guy that can run. Last year, there's a guy on the Ravens who is their kick returner by the name of Devin Duvernay out of Texas. And last year in like the fourth round or fifth round or wherever it was, I think whenever they took Laurel Murchison, I was so hoping for them to draft Devin Duvernay because he was a wide receiver that could run. And I have thought that for years they need a wide receiver that can run. Taywan Taylor could run, but he couldn't catch. Khalif Raymond was your deep threat. And one, every time Raymond went in the game, you knew what the Titans were trying to do. And two, the guy was good for like one deep ball every 4 weeks. I need a little bit more than that, a little bit more of a threat. So I don't think they have the money to pay a Will Fuller because I think it's roughly going to be about the same money as a Corey Davis. But I'm just telling you, I look at it and I would say, man, the amount of money. I mean, I'm talking real money. The amount of money the Titans are going to have, you're going to be spending a lot of it if you want Corey Davis back. But some people do. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. There is a report out about the Titans. And I want to get to this coming up next because I'm not sure if I believe the report. I'm not sure. It is a little interesting to me. I'll just leave it at that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Hey, by the way, big Preds game tonight as they take on Carolina. We'll have David Poyle said some interesting stuff we'll get to later next hour. But tune into Robbie and Rex Road every weekday morning at 8:45 when the Preds have a weekday game this season for your chance to participate in the Preds Pick to Click. And you can win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Your next chance to participate is Thursday morning. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.